him that glorieth, glory in the Lord. Good words. Okay, turn with me to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, we'll go back to Genesis in a moment. But Hebrews 11 is our text. Let's read verse 21 as we look at another part of this chapter. Hebrews 11, verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. There's not much said here. It doesn't reveal too much to us, but nevertheless, God put that there alongside with Abraham sacrificing his son, Noah building an ark by faith. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he was a dying man. This is the story of a dying man. Look at verse 13 here. That's what really this whole chapter is about. Those who died in the faith. Verse 13. These all died in the faith, not having received the promises. And neither have we. But they saw them afar off. Saw them with the eye of faith and were persuaded of them. Persuaded their hearts and mind, embraced them, loved the promises, looked forward to, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, these all died in faith. Now, Jacob has died. Jacob is dying. That's what this story is about. This is his testimony. And it's significant. This was brought to my attention that we have three dying men here in a row. Isaac was dying when he blessed Jacob and Esau, remember? Jacob's dying now, and the next verse, 22, is the story of Joseph when he died. So three men, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, all old men on their deathbeds. That interest you? What they had to say, what they did. And I want to die like they died. I want to die the death of the righteous, don't you? And that's why this is written. That's what these stories are about and why they were written. As Psalm 37:37 says, mark the perfect man. The end of that man's peace, the righteous. Behold the upright. The end of that man is peace. Now, these all died in faith. They believed God. They trusted God's word, God's promise. They looked to God's Son. And they looked for a better country. And they died believing that. And they died and received it. They finally received it. So by faith, Jacob, it says, was dying. And he blessed both the sons of Joseph and worship, leaning upon the top of his staff. All right, now go back to Genesis 47. Genesis 47. Now, as we saw last Wednesday night, we studied Jacob's life. Jacob's life was a troubled one, wasn't it? So troubled. Jacob had been through a lot of ups and downs, a lot of good times, a lot of bad times, a lot of happiness, had his share of sadness, mostly blessings, a lot of chastenings, which are blessings. But such is the life of all the sons of Jacob. That's the way God would have it. All the sons of Jacob, so that they find here no continuing city. Our Lord, Jacob's God, said this, in the world you shall have tribulation. according to design. And Jacob did, as an example to us. He had more than his share. That's a bad saying, and he had exactly his share, but more than perhaps we will be called upon to endure. However, look at chapter 47, verses 7 through 9. Now, this is Jacob in Egypt before Pharaoh. Chapter 47, Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? He saw he was an old man. He's curious, how old are you? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers and the day of their days of their pilgrimage. Few compared to Abraham lived 175 years, Isaac more than somewhere around that. So it was few compared to his fathers. He lived, as we saw, all his days were 147. But he says they're few. Few. But they were exactly the number that God allotted him, weren't they? And evil, he said. Few and evil. Now, he's not complaining. He's just stating the fact. And evil here doesn't mean that my life's been a bad one. What he means are they've been full of troubles. The scriptures, like Isaiah 45, 7 says, I create, make peace, and I create evil. And God said that. I make peace, and I create evil. He's not saying he's the author of sin. But he's saying those calamities and traumas and disasters and things that men and women think are terrible things that happen to them are called evil many times in the scripture. So this is what Jacob's saying. My days have been few and full of trouble. That's what Job said, didn't he? Man is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Full of trouble. Not the world. David said that in Psalm 73, didn't he? He said, they don't have any trouble like I have. God's people, though, they've got nothing but trouble. Well, that's the goodness of God, really. Keep us from wanting to stay here. But much of Jacob's troubles were his own doing, weren't they? And that's perhaps, I know he had that on his mind. My days, phew, my life, I hadn't accomplished much. Hadn't done much good. Now, for our comfort, for the comfort of every son of Jacob in here, our text last Wednesday was, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. And we looked in detail at the life of Jacob. All those ups and downs, good times, bad times, troubles and trials, and we concluded that, oh, Jacob sure had a good God, didn't he? A merciful God, a sovereign God, a God who provided and took care of him. But and you have to be a son of Jacob to be thankful for Jacob's God. You have to be a son of Jacob. He's the God of Jacob. He said, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. God's going to consume all Esau, but every son of Jacob would not be consumed. No condemnation. Jacob was full of contradictions. His life was full of contradictions, weren't it? Yet his heart now was for his God. Yes, it was. He schemed and connived for that birthright. But he did want it. Didn't it? He wanted the blessing of his father. And he went about it all wrong. But he wanted the blessing. Huh? Take heart. You're full of contradictions. Jacob was so sinful. But Jacob loved God now. Yes, he did. You could not, you cannot disprove Jacob's true love for his God. He wanted God's blessing. Jacob's old nature came out so often, didn't it? His old nature came out all the time. But every now and then, his new nature would too. I venture to say most of the time. Jacob lived a hard life. He lived a hard life. That's what he's saying here. My days have been few and evil, but he died a peaceful death. And after all said and done, what else matters? What else matters? He died in faith. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Our Lord said this. This is what he said. He that hath begun a good work in you, he'll perfect it. He'll perform it. Take Jacob as an example. God wrestled, the Lord met Jacob and wrestled with him. And, you know, it was a wrestling match, a war from then on, with troubles and trials. But the Lord, in the end of this man was peace. That's what his confession shows us. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me, David said. Yes, he will. Why? Because he's the God of Jacob. Listen to this. I want you to listen. If you want to turn with me, you can. Psalm 145. Amen. If you want to read next, whenever. I think somebody did read this not long ago. Psalm 145. This was a fresh blessing to read this. Psalm 145, verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, all that call upon him in truth. That's Christ, in Christ. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. Do you fear him, Jacob? He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. Do you love him, Peter? Yes, Lord. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. After thinking about that, David said, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Happy is he that the God of Jacob for his help. All right? If you're taking notes, here's Jacob's dying faith. Back in chapter 47, Jacob's dying faith. Number one, he's fearless of man. Finally. He's dying. And his faith was fearless of man. Look at it again. He was brought before Pharaoh. Verse 7. Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh. Now, who's Pharaoh? You've read and looked at the stories of these Egyptian pharaohs. Why, these men were the most powerful men on the planet. They were gods upon the earth, feared by everyone, weren't they? Feared by everyone. Not Jacob. Jacob comes in before the most powerful man on earth, the most fearful, powerful man on earth. He did not bow. It does not say he bowed to him. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember? We will not bow. Well, then you'll go in the furnace. Well, that's all right. Somebody will go in with me. Right? Like Daniel. You will not pray to your God. Oh, yes, I will. Well, then we'll throw in the lions then. Well, they won't eat me because God's with me. So Jacob comes in before the most powerful man on earth. He didn't bow, didn't scrape. He doesn't ask this Pharaoh for anything. What's he need from Pharaoh? What does he need from Pharaoh? He's a dying man. What does he need? But it says, look at this. This is amazing. It says, Jacob blessed Pharaoh. That struck me. Jacob blessed Pharaoh. You see? This world can't bless us. This world can't do anything for us. This world can't give us anything we really need. But God's people are a blessing to this world. You know, this world, They can't do anything for you. But we're the salt. God's people call the salt of the earth, the light of the world. And God blesses them through God's people. They sure do. But I was reminded of Psalm 27. David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Now, Jacob was not always so bold, was he? He was running from his brother Esau for years. He wasn't always so bold, and neither am I. Whew. Aren't you ashamed of your cowardice? But when it really counted, Remember, Peter was not always so bold, was he? He stood before a little maid, little young girl beside a fire, and she said, "Well, you're one of those." "I am not," and started cussing and carrying on. Oh, later he so regretted it. One time he stood before kings who said, "We'll take your head off if you preach in his name." He said, "Should I obey you or God?" When it really counted, may God make me bold and you bold when it really counts. Huh? Make us bold, especially when we get old. Less fearful of man. That's what I want to be. The older I get, less fearful of man. Less caring. Like I want to be like the Apostle Paul who said, "Let no man bother me. Let nobody bother me." And I want to fear God more, though. I want to fear God more than man. I'll tell you what happened recently. This will be a blessing to you. Brother James Watson, pastor down in Arkansas, who passed away recently. A small, humble, meek man, wasn't he? You knew him. Meek and humble and soft-spoken, just a sweet, tender, gentle, Christ-like man. Just so tender and gentle. Wouldn't hurt. Harmless as a dove. Harmless as a dove. Well, in his dying days, there was a man in the church there who was causing some trouble. And the day before he died, the day before Brother Watson died, and he was laying on his deathbed, and his wife told me this on the phone just this morning. She said this man in the church had been causing troubles and so forth, came to visit Brother James. And she said all of a sudden James got more strength than he'd had in days. And he kind of raised up in bed. He'd been bedfast for a long time. He said, "Brother so-and-so, you're acting like a stingy, selfish, rotten, no-good unbeliever. Your life's not right. Your conduct's not right." He said, "Your speech is not right." He said, "If you don't straighten up, you got trouble." Call that old man's head. Shocked that fella. His wife told me that, well, it shocked him to hear that out of that little meek fella. But old Jacob here, standing before this powerful man, is fearless. He's fearless. Fearless of man. Jacob's dying faith, fearless of man, and fearless of death. Fearless of death. He's dying and he knows it, and he's not afraid. Look at it. Verses 29 and 30 of chapter 47. Verse 29 and 30. "The time drew nigh that Israel must die, and so must we, every son of Jacob." Right? It's appointed unto man once to die. It's appointed. Every man. These all died in faith. All right, it came time, Israel must die. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, "If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt, but I will lie with my fathers." And over in chapter 48, he said it again, verse 21. Israel said unto Joseph, "Behold, I die." I die.
matter-of-factly and fearlessly. I'm dying. I'm dying. Israel must die, and so must you and I. Right? He said, I will lie with my fathers. I will. And so will you. And so will I. Right? Now, listen to this now. For your comfort, you need not worry about dying grace until you're really dying. We all worry about that, don't we? We all do. Every one of us. We worry about dying grace. You need not worry. Like right now, the thought crops up in your mind about dying, and you think, honestly, every one of us think, I'm not ready. I don't want to. Be honest. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my brethren. Huh? Be honest, man. Well, you need not worry about that until you're dying. When it comes time, like Jacob, and you know you're dying, you'll have that grace. Not too long ago, and in my own experience, I was experiencing some severe health problems, had some tests run. We thought it was very, very, very serious, and had some cancer tests run. And they were about 3 or 4 days there where we were waiting on the results. And I'm telling you, it was an anxious time, wasn't it? Scary. Real scary. But I didn't need dying grace. I don't have cancer. I'm not dying. But if the time comes, when the time comes, you have that dying grace. It's always so. I beheld many believers die. I sat there and listened to Brother James gasping for air, telling me how gracious God been to him with a smile on his face. And on I could tell you the story. You too. You could tell them too. But he doesn't fear it. He doesn't fear it. Jacob's dying. He knows it. He doesn't fear it. But he faces it. The next thing, he's faithful. He's believing. Verse 30, here in verse 40, chapter 47, verse 30 says, I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place. He's pretty confident, isn't he? I will lie with my fathers, and you'll carry me out of this place. I will die as my fathers did. That's what he's saying. I'm trusting the God of my grandfather Abraham, my father Isaac. And I will be carried out of here and rest with them. I'll be buried as a believer. Yes, I will. How can you be so sure, Jacob? How can you be so sure of yourself? I'm not. I'm just sure of my God. How can you be so sure? God said. Because God said. That's why. That's what he begins to say in the next chapter. Because God told me. But Jacob, you've been so sinful. Jacob, your life has been so sinful, though. But my God is merciful. He said His mercy endureth forever, didn't He? But Jacob, you've been unfaithful to your God so many times. Unfaithful, yes, but my God is faithful. See, all his assurance is based on his God. That's where you get your comfort. That's you can have full assurance if you keep looking to your Jacob's God. You know what? You look at yourself. Jacob looked at himself one time. For one moment, he had despaired of himself. But if you look to Jacob's God, oh, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his head. You've been so sinful. Oh, but God's so merciful. Jacob's God. But you've lied, you've cheated, you've acted at times like you didn't even know God. Yes, but God knows me. That's all my hope. I like what Paul said to the Thessalonians. He said, and after you had known God, or rather, are known of God, You see, God's going to say to a multitude of people someday, I never knew you. I never knew you. That means I never loved you. I never set my affection on you. I never united with you. I never, you're not my child. I never knew you. And that's all those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. That's all those who thought they'd done God a favor by, you know, by being His child and doing all these things for God, right? All those wonderful works for God. That's all those who had gloried in themselves in some way or another, even in their faith. But for an old son of Jacob who finds nothing in himself to glory in, nothing in himself, no good in him anywhere, nothing good in his life, nothing commendable about himself all the days of his life, nothing. God says, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Whom he did predestinate, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. That's the sons of Jacob. Happy is he that the God of Jacob for his help. What God hath promised concerning me, I believe with Abraham. He's able to perform that. He's able to perform it and willing. Jacob's dying faith, his confession. Look at this. Verse 30. He said, I will die and you'll carry me out of Egypt. You'll carry me out of Egypt. Now, if you noted there, Jacob lived 17 years in Egypt. And it says that they accumulated a lot of things, didn't it? He lived in Egypt. He lived in the richest country in the world. And so do we. We live in a combination of Egypt and Rome. Put both those together and you got America. Richest, most affluent culture and society in the history of the world. Without a doubt. Is it not America? We live in it. Babylon. Yes, we do. Rome, Egypt. Jacob lived there and accumulated things. He was in the midst of the luxuries of Egypt. He was in the house of Pharaoh. Do you know what that house looked like? It was the best the world had to offer. But he says, I want out of here. Get me out of here. Quick. Then that's what he's saying. I want out of here. And I want my sons and everybody else to join me. This is not my house. Chapter 48, verse 21. He says this to Joseph. Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you. This is not my house, Joseph. He's talking to his son Joseph. He said, this is not my resting place. This is not where I want to stay. I want out of here. I want to go and be with my fathers. And Joseph, it's not yours either. It's not your place either, Joseph. You're a prince here and you have all these things. You have all this world has to offer. But Joseph, this is not your dwelling place. You weren't born for this. You're a prince in Egypt, but you're much higher than that with God. Like that, it was an old missionary years ago. Some of you heard this story. An old missionary years ago, his son was on the mission field. It's a true story. I forget his name. But his son was also on the mission field somewhere. And the country from which, where he was ministering, country called that son to be ambassador to that country. An American ambassador to that country. And he was so elated and went to tell his father, and his father said, you've taken a demotion. You were an ambassador for Christ. So we're prince. We're Israel was the prince, was he not? Joseph was a prince in Egypt, but who's the prince with God? Jacob. Well, he's just a dying old man. He's going to sit at the right hand of the majesty on high, is he not? With the prince of peace himself, of whom Joseph is a type. Why would he want to stay there? So he tells Joseph, it's not my house, not yours either, son. Don't ever forget that. Keep your mind where it ought to be. Keep your affection set on things above, the rightful place. We're strangers and pilgrims here. Do you remember Noah, don't you? Over in chapter 11 of Hebrews, Noah, it says, by building that ark, it says he condemned the world. Didn't it? By building that ark, he condemned the world. And when we come and hear this, we come and hear this gospel, the ark of Christ. Christ, our Savior, yet Christ, our ark, Christ also the destroyer of mankind. We believe that too, don't we? We believe we're safe in Christ. We come to Christ for salvation. We also believe He's coming to judge this world, do we not? Very little talk about that. Nobody's saying anything about that today, all these Jesus lovers. They've pretty much thrown that out the window, haven't they? Come, you'll be absolutely overjoyed beyond. Well, you'll be changed in a moment. Don't worry about it. But he's the coming destroyer, and when we believe the true gospel, we condemn the world. By believing the true gospel, we say God's going to destroy this world and everybody outside of Christ. Like Noah said, God's going to destroy this world. Everybody's outside the ark, he said. He condemned the world. Condemned the world. So, our text says, back in Hebrews 11, don't have to turn there, I'll quote it. It says, Jacob blessed both the sons, it was dying, and blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped. He worshipped. On his dying bed, he was worshipping. That's the son of Jacob. I mean, that's Jacob. And that's all Jacob's son. He worshipped. It says, leaning on the top of his staff. Anybody wonder about that? Leaning on the top of his staff. It doesn't say anything about that in chapter 47 or 8. It says he leaned on the bed. Leaned on his staff. Well, Paul or whoever wrote Hebrews said that. The Holy Spirit said it. So he must have had a staff. And that's significant. That's significant. A staff, you know, an old man, when he gets old, he starts using a cane, doesn't he? A walking stick. Staff. And Jacob, evidently, the older he got, you know, he limped. You remember he had a little limp? You remember where he got that, don't you? All this is so significant. After the angel of the Lord, after Christ came to him and wrestled with him, you know, he left. He wasn't the same man from there then on. He limped, physically limped. And probably in his older days, you know, arthritis set in or whatever, and it really got bad, and he needed a staff to lean on. And so this staff was something that he walked by. Every day he walked with this staff. This staff was something he leaned on all the time for support. Hold him up, you know, his crutch. He couldn't make it without it. His staff. What you reckon that staff is? Why do you reckon that's in there? What did you read tonight? Psalm 23. David said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The staff is God's word. It's what a believer lives by. It's what supports us. As soon as Christ comes to you and wrestles with you, where do you turn to? What do you lean upon? What supports you? Where do you run to? Huh? What are you going to live by from then on? You're going to lean on it, aren't you? On the staff. Believer staff. They comfort me. It's a living and the living believer's support and the dying believer's support. Right? He worshiped. Leaning on his staff. Now look at his confession and his blessing to his sons. I've got to hurry. Now, this is Jacob's greatest blessings to his son. Chapter 48, verses 3 and 4. Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. Now, Joseph had heard that story before. I bet you Jacob told him many times. Here he is dying. What's he going to say? He's going to talk about his God, how good God's been to him, isn't it? Here's the greatest blessing you can give to your children. This is how you really bless your children. Tell them how good your God is to you and how they need to keep that in mind. The Lord appeared unto me. Jacob wasn't looking for him. Bless Jacob's God. He was looking for him. And he said unto me, this is what the Lord said. And he blessed me and said unto me, behold, I will. This is what I heard from my God, Joseph. Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee. And I will make of thee a multitude of people. And I will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting portion. Verse 15 and 16. He blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day. Joseph, it's just amazing. Now, this is a dying old man's words to his son. He said, my God, son, has blessed me. Oh, he called me by his grace. He blessed me, revealed himself to me. He spoke the word to me, gave these everlasting promises that made an everlasting covenant concerning me, ordered and sure, and all these things. All my days he's fed me. Joseph, I hadn't fed myself any more than you have. Remember where you came from, Joseph. You remember the pit from which you were digged? Couldn't he literally say that to Joseph? Joseph, don't ever forget you were in a pit. Now look at you. Who fed? What, Joseph, you did nothing to be where you are now, but God led you and fed you. This is our God. And the angel, verse 16, I love this. The angel, capital A. Who's that, John? Who's he talking about? The angel, capital A. The angel of the Lord. That's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's the one who wrestled with it, which redeemed me from all evil. Joseph's son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If he knew his name was Jesus, he'd say, God's angel of mercy, redeem me from all evil. Oh, may he bless the lads. See that? He's not concerned about, we'll give my suit of clothes to Ephraim and give my favorite this to Manasseh and make sure Auntie whoever that's not what he's concerned about. That's not what he's concerned about. That's the greatest blessing you can give your children, is it not? May I die, may my children watch me die and with grace and hear me pronounce the blessings of my God upon them. That's the blessing of all blessings, is it not? And he did bless the two sons, and it has significance, but we're not going to go into it. We don't have time. Ephraim and Manasseh. I tell you this, both of them were of the tribe of Israel, though. They were two tribes of Israel, and this is significant, this part about it. I don't have time to go into it, but they're not opposed to each other, Ephraim and Manasseh. They're brothers, Ephraim and Manasseh, okay? They're not like Jacob and Esau. They're not like Ishmael and Isaac. No, these are two brethren. They were never really at odds, per se, okay? These are brethren. So the significance here of him blessing the old, the younger, as opposed to the younger, older. You remember we read how that Jacob, he was blind, and Joseph, you know, brought Ephraim, I'm not even going to try to, I'll get it mixed up. Anyway, he brought his two sons in, the oldest he put towards Jacob's right hand, because it was tradition to always bless the oldest son with your right hand. And in the left hand, the youngest son. So he put his two sons, Joseph took his two sons. One was about six or seven, the other one about 20. Put them where they ought to be blessed. And it says that Jacob, an old blind man, crossed his hands and blessed the younger over the older. Now, we know why he did that. No. We know why he did that. Because that's what happened to him. And that's the way God said it from the beginning. God's sovereign covenant and purpose and all things. The elder shall serve the younger, and as it deals with Christ and God's purpose concerning Israel and all of that. But here's this picture, all right? Here's the picture of these two. God in His sovereignty not only distinguished, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. God not only sovereignly elects one and reprobates another. That's His sovereign prerogative, is it not? He not only does that, but His sovereignty, He makes brethren to differ one from another. He gives grace to His sons as He sees fit. There's the parable of the talents, remember, where the Lord said the master gave 10 talents to one, 5 to one, and one to another, as it seemed good to him. You understand? So the Lord, here's the scriptures that say that to every man is given the measure of faith. Gifts differing according to grace given. God gives one man many talents or gifts, right? And another not so many. The Spirit, listen to this, the Spirit divides to every man severally as He will. As He will. Every one of us is given grace, yet, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So we not to, and Joseph didn't like this. Joseph didn't understand it. And he tried to change it. It's just not fair. It's not right. Don't bless him. Bless him. Oh, but he says that Jacob guided his hands wittingly. He knew what he was doing. He said, son, I know what I'm doing. I know. And he'll be great too, but he's greater. The disciples, I love the story of the disciples, all 12 of them argued who's going to be the greatest. Who was the greatest of the apostles? None of them. It was Paul later on, and Paul said, I'm not even fit to be one. So the Lord said, you're going to be the greatest. James and John said, we'll sit on the right hand. James' mother said that. And Paul said, I'm not even worthy to sit with you. And God said, you'll be at the chief seat. That's the way He does things. So we don't say with Joseph, no, unfair. No, you gave him more than you gave me. Don't say that. Father guides his hands wittingly. So old Jacob died in faith. Didn't he? He died in faith and blessed his sons, leaning, not just on an old staff, but leaning on the everlasting arm, right? Safe and secure from all along. These all died in faith. That old man died in peace, didn't he? He said, I'm going home. Let's sing in closing. Let's sing a closing hymn. Did we sing number 75, Abide With Me? All right, let's sing 359. In closing, in the Green Book, 359. It's a good hymn to sing in closing. Stand with me. Number 359. My faith looks up. When I
3.
While life's dark days I tread, and griefs around me spread, be thou my God. In darkness turn.